big shout out to you for making it through the hectic holiday season. This new year, get clean, quality, pregnancy nutrient support off your to-do list, including Ritual's best-selling essential prenatal multivitamin, designed with 12 traceable key ingredients to support a healthy pregnancy. With big changes coming up, take the small steps now and start today with 30% off a three-month supply at ritual.com/podcast. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Bonjour tout le monde.
Hey guys, I'm in a real, real good mood because I've just found out I can get 15% off all of Beaufort on Blake's incredibly sexy new autumn winter range with the code RIGBIZ15. So if you're going on a date tonight, heading into the city to make a lot of money, or just want to chill throughout London in Southwest London or wherever you're in the world, then all you have to do is click on the link in the podcast notes, go to the Beaufort and Blake website, and put in the code RIGBIZ15, and you shall redeem 15% off all their incredible clothes. Ladies, don't fear, it works for you as well. Ciao.
Fred.
Yeah?
Yeah, yeah. Do you think you could play some kind of serious jazz on the trumpet?
On the trumpet? Yeah,
I need to have a bit of chat with the listeners. Okay. I need something serious.
I don't really
jazz.
Play it, but I'll give it a go. Here we go.
Ooh, that's some serious jazz. That's... Man, that jazz is so money. Anyway, you take a seat. I just need to chat to everyone. Hello, high net worth individuals. I do hope this pre-podcast message finds you well. Just a very quick one for me. I just want to say thank you so much to those who listen to the podcast and those who have donated to my Just Giving page. It was an amazing experience and made even more special that we raised money that I know will go to trying to defeat a horrible disease that is MND. Thank you so, so much. Enjoy the podcast.
This is the one. It's coming back for Johnny Wilkinson. He drops for World Cup glory.
Lash, 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 lash.
Viens avec moi pour le rugby en France. Prends une bière et on suit dans la danse. Viens-tu de suite si ta seule chance. Bienvenue à la Coupe du Monde de rugby en France.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome back to the Ribbiz Podcast, episode 153. And for the first time in all of those episodes, I can truly say I'm really proud of the man sat alongside me, Mr. Archie Gerson, back from Paris. How the hell are you, sir?
I'm well, Curtis. Yeah? I am well. Yeah, it was a hell of an expedition.
Incredible.
But, you know, I'm very lucky. I did my Duke of Edinburgh at school, and I was also part of the CCF.
Right.
So I was well prepared and well prepped on what was to come. But for that kind of challenge where you're cycling 300 miles in 3 days, you have to be physically at your peak,
yes,
which you know I am,
yeah.
And mentally at your peak. Again, you know I am.
Well, you say you're mentally at your peak. I saw all these stories on your Instagram being like, oh, I've never felt so tired.
Oh, okay, like, yeah, there were moments of darkness. But, you know, when you really push your mind and your body, Cletus, which is something you've probably never done,
right.
Because, you know, have you ever done Infernos Friday, Saturday, Sunday?
No, I haven't.
No, well, there you go.
Okay.
You do experience dark moments,
right,
and your mind does wander. I'm very lucky. I had a good team around me.
Had
Jason Fox and me and him, very similar people, got each other through the dark moments. But yeah, mate, it was an amazing, amazing experience. I'm so glad I did it. As a collective, I played a very small part. Managed to raise over £600,000.
Jesus Christ.
Doing the challenge.
That deserves a button in
the Well, actually, funny enough, I got a new button this week.
Okay, what is it?
Just when things are going well, I think this will actually be really good. That's seriously good. Chat.
Well, I wanted to ask you, Archie, because the last time we spoke to you was when you were in the first night in Marlow. You just met your roommate and he'd left the room and left you some alone time. We did the podcast and then... What happened? Did you end up? I mean,
yeah.
We left you with the toothpaste.
Day one. First night I shared a room with a guy called Paul, who had a pretty bog standard job and lived somewhere regional. And that for me was the toughest moment of the whole trip. You know, having to deal with his conversation. But you know, day one, got on the bike and smashed out 100 miles. Finished that journey at Brighton College, which I've got to say is a wonderful, wonderful school.
Yes,
I think it's the most expensive school. in the country.
It is.
And the facilities were remarkable.
Well, you must have loved being back in the school environment. Oh. Back in the prefect's table.
Honestly, in the school environment is really where I flourished. School, Clapham, the rugby field, the Ned, and the city. Those are five places that I really come into my own. And it was great to be back. And I'll tell you one thing. I got straight on that prefect table and I didn't look out of place.
Really?
I didn't look out of place. No, it was good, mate. And then obviously that night I had a few birrios, got on the boat, travelled off to France. Next morning up, 100 miles in the bag. And then last day was spectacular. Another 100 miles, but coming into Paris, we had a police escort. And actually on that bike ride from when we got into Paris into the last bit into Paris, into the fan park, we had a guy there who had MND, which was absolutely inspiring and a little bit emotional.
You
know, I was going to cry, but then I remember what my dad said. It's a sign of weakness. So I just, you know, I did that and it sucked it all
out.
I can't say it enough. I'm so glad I did it. I met some amazing people, the likes of, you know, Jimmy Nesbitt, Jamie Bamber, Mel Dean, Jason Fox, Kenny Logan, Gabby Logan, Kirsty Gallagher, Ali McCoy.
Just A-list everywhere, and then you.
Yeah.
You must have felt quite out of place.
No.
Did anyone know who you actually were?
I fitted in quite well, yeah. They knew who I was, mate, really? Especially by the end of the trip, because I delivered some bloody good chat.
Well, talking about chat, let's find out of that lot you just mentioned, who actually had chat or no chat. So we're going to play a special edition of French chat or no chat.
Est-ce qu'il y a du chat? On est le bat du chat. Est-ce qu'il y a du chat? On est le bat du chat. Est-ce qu'il y a du chat? On est le bat du chat. Je vais poser cette question maintenant.
Melvin.
Chat.
Yeah?
Yeah, but in a big way. Good guy coming on the podcast soon.
Jason Fox?
Oh, you know.
We already know.
You know he's got le chat.
Gabby Logan.
People are going to be surprised, but she's got some chat.
Does she?
Yeah.
I'm not surprised, actually. Ali McCoist.
Yeah, up there. Up there is some of the
doesn't
best.
Doesn't need to say anything, he's got chat. Yeah. Kirsty Gallagher?
Yeah.
Single?
Chat.
Okay. Jamie Bamber?
Jamie Bamber. For an actor who's got quite a hockey boy chassis, he's got some bloody good chat.
Kenny Logan?
Oh, yeah.
The King.
The King Kenny. Chat.
And finally, Jimmy Award-winning actor Nesbitt.
Oh my God, Freddie. The chat of all chats. And actually, I've got a special button for Jimmy Nesbitt. Listen to this.
Chat, 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 chat!
Well, Archie, now we're going to talk a bit of rugger because we are only 2 days away from the quarterfinals and you're heading back out to Marseille, aren't you?
I'm out in Marseille for the weekend with Infinity Sports Travel. You can use the code NORS10 10% all off your packages.
Are you going
to... You can use the code NORS10
to get it,
off
mate.
Your packages.
Okay, cool.
Let me just press my button again. That's seriously good. Chat. And just one more.
Another one.
Just want to say you can use the code NORS10. It's not too late now to get 10% off your packages.
Well, Archie, forget about
the quarterfinals.
Well, forget about NORS10, the quarterfinals. Let's actually talk about the rugby.
Yeah.
You're going out. Are you going to the games?
Yeah, I'm going to both quarterfinals.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, me and the rugby guy.
You're going to have sort of a wrestling match at half time.
We're polar opposites. You know, there is the rugby guy delivering family friendly content.
Yeah, it's like the older
I'll
crowd.
I'll be delivering some live lash content.
Okay, well, we're looking forward to that.
Get ready, mate, because I've packed at least two pairs of my drinking boots.
Oh, God, okay. Well,
I actually have. Yeah, two different pairs of shoes for two different quarterfinals.
You paid for extra luggage?
Yeah.
Well, Archie, let's quickly look at the quarterfinals. Who are you backing in these games? Let's start with the first game, which is obviously Argentina against Wales.
Quite tricky for me to pick a team here, because obviously Wales is a home nation. Mm-hmm. But I do have a lot of friends that play polo in Argentina in polo season. Okay. I think it's going to be close. But I think Wales might just pip it. I'll be there, of course. So I'm looking forward to watching a classic game.
Hopefully he's a good rugger. And then later that evening, obviously the other side of the draw is a lot more heavily weighted, a lot more better teams. That evening we're going to see Ireland, the number one team in the world, take on the All Blacks in what is going to be just an incredible clash.
You're talking about two giants of the games coming together. And, you know, look, it's going to be a decent game, Ruggers. I'll definitely be watching it in the bar, probably giving people my analysis, whether they like it or not. But I can only see one winner, and that's Ireland. I was there this weekend, Scotland versus Ireland, and my God, their fans are unreal. It's like being in a pub in Clapham when England are playing in the Six Nations.
Oh, that good?
Yeah.
Jesus, okay. So we've got Ireland winning, we've got Wales winning, and then we hit Sunday, the day of rest traditionally, yeah. But not for this English team because they're coming up against an incredibly explosive Fiji side.
Yeah, this is a real 50-50. I think the difference really will come down to the fact that I'm at the game and England rarely lose when I'm at the game live. And you are welcome, Steve Borthwick. I'll be invoicing you and your team when you win this game.
Okay, so we got an England win there to get into the semis, which many didn't see coming. And then finally, I reckon the biggest clash of the weekend, the home nation, France, take on the current reigning world champions in South Africa. Who have you got?
I'll be honest with you, I'll be about 10 beers down, mate, not really know what was going on. So I just hope I make it back to the boat, because the next day I've got to fly.
All right, okay.
I really do hope I make it back, because there is a danger that I just get on it really hard and then completely forget where I am.
Right, okay.
I mean, it's not been unknown. So I'm just hoping I get back to the boat.
Well, Archie, just talking about the quarterfinals there, we are delighted on this episode to be joined by the All Blacks' second highest scorer of all time in history of the sport, an absolute legend, now a broadcasting legend. He's also worked in the City in Sydney, so we can talk to him about that. But it's the one, the only, Andrew Mertz Merton, the loosest man in the world. He loves a drink. He loves the lash. He loves the rugger.
Really, that is three things I look for on someone's CV when they come and join my company. So I'm really looking forward to getting into this. So I think there's only one thing to do, is just put on my headphones and absolutely melt this interview.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are delighted to be joined by New Zealand's second highest top scorer, a legend in his own right, Andrew Merton. Andrew, I can see you've been on the piss for 70 days. How are you still standing?
I don't know. I'm not. I'm sitting. I've been doing a lot of sitting, trains and planes and automobiles. Doing quite a bit of work in the UK as well, so there are a few lunches and dinners. Obviously, a lot of interest around the World Cup. Plenty of opportunities for a washed up old hack like me to pop across on the Eurostar and enjoy myself in Blighty.
Mertz, I just want to say it's a great honour to have you on the podcast, because you've not only done it on the rugby pitch, but you've done it in the business world and you've done it in the bars. And that is three things I look for when I'm employing someone in the city on their CV. So, you know, you're an inspiration to all of us.
What has done it? Is that shat myself? Because I've done that probably on the rugby field with big guys running at me. I've no doubt done that at probably a few financial services lunches and stuff as well. So
yeah, but
that's about it. Look, I'm living a dream, honestly. A little kid from rural New Zealand, and you know, I was pinching myself last night just coming in and doing a function in London alongside Bob Skinstad and Michael Liner, two guys who in any other circumstance I'd have been sitting at home watching and you know, idolizing, and I get to sit alongside them and horse ass around about rugby. It's a lot of fun.
Mertz, I'm really looking to get on that circuit. I'm speaking to a few people. It looks great. It looks like you go there, you get pissed, and you pick up a nice brown envelope. Sounds handy.
Well, some of them do. I don't know. I didn't tend to get any envelopes, unfortunately. I think I'll probably just put it straight on the bar anyway most of the time. But yeah. It's a lot of fun. I mean, I don't even have to talk about myself, which is nice. All people want to know about over here is what it was like playing with Jonah Lomu and blokes like that. So
well,
that's all right. I'm happy to talk about that.
We are going to ask you about that in a second. But just mentioning shitting yourself in the city, obviously some weird things go on in business meetings, which we don't need to talk about, co-curricular activities. But talking about shitting yourself, let's go to the 95 World Cup, because we are getting to the knockout stages of this. You played in the 95 World Cup final. You obviously missed one famous drop goal in extra time, but was it more than that?
No, actually none in extra time. I missed five in regular time. So there we go. Any of those would have won the game for the All Blacks. And I don't want to make light of it, especially if there are any Kiwis tuning into the show. But, I mean, what do you do about it? You can't change it. You got to have a laugh at yourself. It was traumatizing at the time. But you know what? Stepping back and looking at the picture, I'm a people pleaser. You know, look how many people I made happy in South Africa just through that loss. You know, the Rainbow Nation, that that fairy tale ending and fairy tale story would never have happened. You know, Nelson Mandela, would he have had a movie made about him? 27 years of incarceration, absolutely got to be respected and admired. And but I don't think that would have been enough for a movie without that game, without Francois Pienaar, et cetera. Matt Damon playing that. Morgan Freeman played Nelson Mandela. That was his life's dream. You look what would have happened if I hadn't ruined New Zealand's chances in the final there. And I just think, bigger picture, I'm proud of myself.
Mertz, has Morgan Freeman been in contact just to say thank you? And have you had the opportunity to say you're welcome, or has that not happened?
I just don't think he's had time. I'm assuming it's coming somewhere. I mean, yeah. What was the release of it? Jeez, it must be 13 or 14 years ago now. A couple of years I was going out to the mailbox checking for anything. You know, I thought even maybe an official South African government letterhead might might turn up there as well. But just some sort of a thanks. I wasn't doing it for, you know, kudos or anything like that. But at the same time, just nice to be recognised.
It would be nice. It would be nice. And, you know, the one thing I do in the city is I connect people together. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to get my people to reach out to Morgan via LinkedIn, a wonderful dating app. I don't know if you've experienced it, but see if we can connect you with Morgan and get the, you know, the well-deserved, you know, you're welcome.
At least get a cut of, yeah, of his fee.
Maybe like, I don't know, 0.1% of his fee would be nice. That'd be a good night out.
I would appreciate that. Like I say, I wasn't in it really for myself, but I think you play a small part in some, yeah, momentous event like a Clint Eastwood movie. And I wasn't able to go down there. I had mates I was playing with at the time. A couple of big Tongan boys got called up to go and be extras down in South Africa. So we're in off-season in France doing our training before the next season starts. And I've got teammates down in South Africa saying they're playing Texas Hold'em poker with Clint Eastwood. So, you know, I feel like I did miss out a little bit on something I helped create.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah. Well, we're talking about that.
Weirdly, just on that, I've had quite a similar experience. You know, my very good friend, Tomo, he's a good guy, works in private equity. His wife now said she didn't want to go for dinner with me. They ended up going for dinner, and now they're married with two kids. So similar thing. I didn't persist.
You're a giver.
I didn't persist, but I put that opportunity in front of the both of them, and you know they've gone on to have great things.
Well, you could follow in the lines of your dad and have 5-6 wives.
Yeah, yeah. Mertz, I don't know if you know, my dad has actually been married 5 times. He's a wonderful guy, an inspirational, not just to me as a father, but in the business world, he's ruthless. And some would say in his love life as well.
Well, I mean, he would have to be ruthless in the business world. I mean, when you go five, I mean, that's 1/32nd of your wealth, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
It's not great maths. I was working in wealth management. We were trying to talk to rugby league players. I'm not an investment expert. So my line was to come along and say, choose yourself a good partner, you know, and make sure you get yourself set up really well legally and stuff like that, because you'll get taken to the cleaners. So, yeah, it's a tough world out there, but I'm certainly not one to be giving relationship advice either, I hasten to add.
No, it's just, I think what my dad said to me, the brief interaction I've had with him over the years, that, you know, I've had the opportunity to say, you know, like, why? Why have you had 5 marriages? I think he says, like, the more money you get, it seems that the younger the girls you want to be with. And the correlation is, you know, he started with my mum. I mean, they're all of age. Can I just, he's a top guy. I think the latest one, she was actually 2 years above me at school.
Oh, lovely.
Yeah. And they've just had a baby. Congratulations to him.
And did you miss out on going to dinner with her as well, doing something for the old man?
Weirdly, I think it's a wonderful story, father-son relationship. I actually snogged her at my first school disco. So in a way, you know, like father, like son. So it's been a...
Well, so you know, so women want to do that too.
Yeah.
The old doubles. Yeah. It's not just blokes talking about mother-daughter, my goodness.
Let's just finish on 95 quickly, because obviously there's the biggest rugby conspiracy theory ever, which isn't a conspiracy. I think it happened. You were all food poisoned 2 days before, so South Africa could win the World Cup, right?
Well, we had a lot of guys in the tour group got sick in a very short space of time on the Thursday night with a game on the Saturday. It seemed a bit suspicious. All we could do was try and focus on recovering as quickly as we could, get to the weekend and get into the game. I was the first one to go down. Got isolated, put in a room by myself overnight. Didn't realise it was happening with all the other guys were getting sick as well. I felt a bit better. I felt pretty pathetic, to be honest. But then I woke up in the morning and the biggest, strongest New Zealander in history, Colin Meads, I couldn't even get out of his bed. So I felt a little bit better about myself, lost a few kilos, probably could do with signing up to the same regime now. If we could find Susie, they got a private investigator involved who came up with the name Susie, a waitress who had been employed for about 2 days at the hotel and then completely disappeared. So look, I don't want to sound like we're blaming it, blaming our loss on that. We lost because we couldn't run through the South Africans. And I think it's when you watch this World Cup as well, nothing's changed, has it? Yeah, a pretty hard wall to run through, these blokes.
Yeah, I see a lot. There's quite a lot of South Africans in Clapham, where I'm the CEO of. And yeah, same thing, they are ruthless. They're big guys with very little banter, might I just add. But, you know, they're in good shape and I respect them for that. If they weren't in good shape, then they, you know, I'm not sure they would survive in the city.
Mertz, you got to play alongside Joe Nalemi, possibly the most famous rugby player ever. Was he good fun on the piss, though? Because, you know, obviously great on the pitch, but was he good off it?
Look, he was pretty good fun. He got a lot of attention from people, so he did try to, I guess, decompress a little bit off the field and just stay pretty quiet. He wasn't really much one for at all getting on the booze, and I guess he had some medical issues all the way through, which we didn't really realise as a team. There might have been certain, you know, senior guys in the team who knew, but most of us didn't. So he just wanted to, you know, have his peace and quiet. He was just a humble kid from South Auckland who wanted to get out and play footy. And yeah, I was alongside him. I got to say, I didn't stand close to him. Even if you're on the same team, it was pretty frightening for a bloke like me seeing someone that big and strong. But yeah, he was a very generous guy. Like the Fijians, the Tongans will find one another. So no matter where in the world we went on tour, he would have a Tongan uncle turn up and want to hang out with him, and would inevitably bring along a big bowl of Tongan chop suey, which stunk, but I quite enjoyed it. So when I was rooming with Jonah, inevitably our room stunk because there'd be a big, massive big bowl of this Tongan chop suey in the corner. So, yeah, he kept to himself a little bit, just mainly because I think everybody wanted a piece of his time. He loved his sports cars. He loved going to McDonald's and smashing about 9, 10 or 11 Big Macs in a go. And yeah, he was an insomniac, couldn't get to sleep. He was there one night up, and I think he was rooming with Tane Randall. Tane Randall woke at 3 in the morning. This shows our age. Back in the day where there was snow on the TV, you know, after transmission finished, it would be and Tane looked over at Jonah, couldn't see any movement, so he got up to go and turn the TV off at about 3 in the morning. As he was switching it off, he heard, "Hey, I was watching it." So he was hardly ever slept as well, and somehow he found the energy through his illness and through no sleep to still produce heroics on the field.
I've just recently, Mertz, just done a bike ride for MND with Kenny Logan, obviously your old teammate Mel Dean, and I was doing 100 miles of cycling a day, pretty much off 2 hours sleep, having drunk excessively. And now I can see why Margaret Thatcher was so successful. You know, you actually don't need a lot of sleep. It makes you more successful. Maybe that's why Joe Nalemi was so successful.
Well, why do you think Mertz is so successful?
Yeah, exactly. All the greats are successful. You talk about Jimmy Nesbitt. I mean, he has about 1 hour sleep a night. He's very successful.
And Dialio doesn't sleep.
Yeah, Dialio doesn't sleep, but I think that's for other reasons.
I'm only good at making other people look good. You know what I mean? Geez, I make that Dan Carter look good, don't I? I was the guy straight before him and he comes along. Shit, I made him look good.
Yeah, but Mertz, once again, I've spent an evening in the company of Dan Carter telling us about his career. And if you are an insomniac, I highly suggest you come into that. It's pretty boring. Yeah, I hear he's good. He's good out of the media, but during his media piece, that was a bit of a snooze fest. Luckily, I had a bit of pre-workout with me, so I was absolutely fine and kept myself alert.
Look, he's obviously got a phenomenal story of success and commitment and passion and excellence. And you know, part of his brand now, his business, is delivering that sort of knowledge that he has, which I think is fantastic. Yeah, you're right. When he lets himself go a little, he's great fun as well. Richie McCaw, very similar. I mean, they've been so phenomenally successful that their thought process around that is very, very methodical and excellent. That's why people are clamoring to have them speak as well. I mean, I talked before about making people look good. I tell you what didn't look good was Mel Dean and Kenny Logan and Lycra when they sent me a little video from that bike ride. I mean, yeah. Hats off to you guys for doing that. That must be grueling. But yeah. Is it really worth it to put yourself out there wearing lycra? It looked horrific, Maldino. Commercial break.
Oh, sorry to, sorry guys, sorry. I just wanted to quickly catch you guys. I know it's a great interview, and I think you can agree, me and Freddie are on fire. I just want to remind you, you can still buy your Clap and Falcon stash at samurai.com. There's a new drop coming soon with some pretty tasty vests if you're into CrossFit. Anyway, don't forget to click on the link in the bio. Have a look. Love and champagne.
4 years after you missed five drop goals to win New Zealand the World Cup. I don't want to keep bringing it up, but 4 years after you missed five drop goals to win New Zealand the World Cup. You did get an incredibly famous drop goal in South Africa, which sparked that incredible double middle finger celebration. Can you take us through how that came about?
Oh, well, I was a little bit scarred about drop goals after that World Cup final, of course. I got back to New Zealand and, you know, people got stuck in. They're not shy in New Zealand talking about their rugby. I was from Christchurch, you know, Crusaders country. And, you know, every Monday morning, even just going out to the supermarket shopping, you'd get 90-year-old sort of great-grandmothers giving you grief about how bad the lineouts were on the weekend or how bad the cleanouts were. So, you know, New Zealanders were passionate about it. And I got a lot of grief from them after that World Cup final where they said to me, you're shit under pressure. And I said, actually, I'm not. I could miss drop goals with no pressure at all. Like, I'm just not good at drop goals, but it's not the pressure that's causing me to miss that. It's just my inability to kick good drop goals. So I finally pulled one out of the bag in Pretoria in 99. I just missed a goal kick, which was one of the best kicks I've ever struck in my life. And it got a gust of wind in one little gap in the stadium and got blown sideways. And the crowd all cheered as if they'd put me off. And I was like, again, I can miss these kicks anytime I want. You haven't put me off. So when I finally hit this drop goal, it was a mixture of relief and exuberance. And, you know, as you do in those moments, you celebrate by pulling out the double bird to people. I'm sure everyone's done it.
Yeah.
And, yeah, the first guy back to me was Norm Berryman. He had this massive grin on his face. I don't reckon he even saw the drop goal go through. He didn't know we'd won. He was just excited that I'd pulled the bird at the crowd. And when I went out that night, the South Africans were all pretty good to me about it. They were really, really good. And I actually realised then that they were proud of me. It was the first time they'd seen me show any spine on the field. So, it was quite a good moment all round.
Mert's obviously a legend for the game. Still, I think the highest point scorer against an individual team in the history of the sport, which is amazing, against South Africa. But obviously, you fall out with New Zealand a bit, 2003, 2004. They refused to pit you for the World Cup, which was ridiculous, and they got punished for doing so. You say, fuck it, I'm coming to England. You get Harlequins promoted. You say, you're welcome, lads. Clapham was great fun. You go to Toulon, you get them promoted. You say, you're welcome. Then you fuck off to Racing, you get them promoted. But when you first went to France, how unprofessional was the rugby? Were you all like, apparently there was drinking all day, all night, everyone's on the ciggies, but that was just common practice.
Yeah, not so much the French. I mean, the French don't drink too much, to be honest. And they're very, you know, they've got their protocols around what they eat and stuff, you know, the standard pre-match dinner and things like that. But I was lucky in teams that I was playing in. We had a bit of a United Nations feel. We had a lot of foreigners and they obviously stuck together and were on a, not so much of a jolly, but, you know, you're in France and you're playing rugby professionally and stuff. So, you know, you got owners like Mourad Boudjelal who were paying far too much for anyone at Toulon, and I made the most of that, I've got to say. It was probably the best earning year of my career playing in French second division. But we still trained pretty hard. You still got to deliver. I mean, I don't want to pump my own tyres, but you did miss the last one. I went down after getting two teams up from second division in France, as well as the Harlequins out of the national one. I decided a new challenge would be what I'd look for, and went to Béziers. We were in third division, and we went up to second. So, you know, I was pretty versatile. I mean, the key there is choose a club that's got a long history in rugby, a history of success, but that's sort of down on its luck, but it's got a big budget and it's got a team that should go through the competition basically unbeaten. Tag along there, get into 10, communicate, organise, throw the ball to everyone else basically, kick a couple of goals, everyone's happy and you look great.
Obviously, you're famous for being incredible on the piss and off the pitch. What's the best night you've ever had on the piss? And finally, who's the loosest player you've ever played with throughout all those teams, club and country?
Got a little bit of a reputation at one stage. I think when I'd fallen out with Robbie Deans and the Crusaders back in Canterbury, back in Christchurch, he dropped me from the Crusaders that season. Unfortunately, they went on to finish, I think, 9th or 11th in the competition. He banished me back to club rugby in Christchurch. Fortunately, our high school old boys rugby club won the competition that year. Just saying. But around that time, there was sort of reputation that I was on the gas quite a lot and stuff. Well, I like having a beer and stuff, but am I one of the wild ones? Absolutely not. I am far from it. That sort of world kind of scares me a little bit. I'm comfortable at a pub having a few beers. When you start talking going out clubbing and stuff like that, I'm out of the game. And so, you know, I was a little bit out of my depth when I came to Harlequins. And, you know, you've got your – firstly, I was out of my depth with banter. I mean, New Zealand cutting a fart is one of the funniest things we do. So really out of my depth. Mike Brown always used to me, mate, that is shit chat, always. So, yeah, a little bit out of my depth. But I can't even think of – you know, we had some really good nights, good fights at the end of the season with Quins, as we did probably with the Crusaders as well. So, you know, one doesn't really stand out. I think we were running around Fulham one time. I had that sort of the ostrich, you know, like Ricky Gervais had the ostrich rider costume. That was the one I got given. Nick Easter was assigning dress-ups. And I think one year I had to turn up as a turnstile just because that was my tackling ability. So, and the other time was just with an ostrich. But I just remember prancing around Fulham at sort of 6 o'clock in the evening, quite bright sunlight with the silly bloody ostrich. But apart from that, I promise you, I wasn't wild at all there. I was right down the bottom of the schedule.
Who is the loosest individual you've come across, Dave?
Lewis Moody's a pretty loose unit. They call him Mad Dog, but not necessarily on the piss, I don't know, but he's pretty loose. Any of these guys who all get together in the World Cup, nobody wants to say, that's it, I'm done. So you just keep on keeping on. Against one another or your teammates you played alongside, to all get together and celebrate rugby a little bit, churn out the same jokes that we were making the last time 4 years ago as well. Phil Kearns, the Australian, in 2015, rather famously, or within our group of players, sort of famously said, who the hell scheduled this rugby tournament in the middle of our piss-up? And that was kind of what the feeling was like and feeling is like at the moment. You know, like I say, doing a function with a couple of blokes last night, maybe later on this week in Paris, there'll be a chance to catch up with Justin Marshall, who is dangerous. The likes, I think Ian Bolshaw might be floating around as well, or Brian Habana, or all those sort of ones. So it's just good fun all piling in together. But, you know, when I've seen some individuals in financial services and you talk about the Wolf of Wall Street and that sort of stuff, which I met the real Wolf of Wall Street in Monaco on a boat about 2 months ago. I was absolutely delighted, and I did not go near him for the late night party. I was well gone by then, but
I'm sure you were.
But seeing those financial services people, what they get up to, is it's frightening.
I think I actually worked with a guy who joined our company at the beginning of the year, and then it got to silly season. As you know, you're out every night on in December, and he just couldn't survive. Hacked it. And you never saw him again after that. So I mean, rugby players can put it out every weekend, but you, it's a real test of a human being if you get into December and you can go, you know, drink for drink every night with clients, entertain them, give them great banter, do business, and get pissed. So there's something to be said about that. The real heroes are those guys, not the doctors, not the soldiers, the guys in the city in December going out every night.
I think the pinnacle of it's the insurance guys, you know, just bang, pint after pint after. And it's why Lions tours are so good for all the Southern Hemisphere countries. You know, you just get a plague of locusts coming into the town and just glug, 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 glug. It just all gets drunk. Wellington in 2017, Wellington had no idea what was going to hit it. Wellington actually hosted two Lions games. There was the Tuesday night game, I think, against the Hurricanes, and then the test on the Saturday. And they didn't think to order copious extra amounts of beer because the tanks in the town just got absolutely run dry. And, you know, you guys, I think, are pretty good, well-behaved when you're drinking. The Irish as well, obviously. They're really good. In fact, there were stories coming out of Bordeaux in this World Cup. The Irish, when they played down there and when the Irish people all went out till 3-4 in the morning, they cleaned up after themselves. They cleaned their bottles up and stuff off the street. Now, that's like that All Black story that we hear about, you know, Carter and McCaw cleaning the changing rooms. So that's pretty impressive.
Yeah.
Impact to the Japanese on the tournament. Talking about the tournament, Andrew, and I know we need to let you go because you've got a function to go to, but who's going to win the World Cup?
Wish I could say, don't listen to rugby players, their predictions. The former rugby players know nothing. You may as well go and ask anyone at work who their favourite jersey is or who's got the tougher mascot. So that's a better way to pick it. don't know. People are talking about how those four teams, the top-ranked teams, are all on one side of the draw. It's a bad thing for quarterfinals. I reckon it's a great thing for quarterfinals. You've got four really tight quarterfinals that could conceivably go either way, which is exactly what you want in a tournament. I don't know. I think if the All Blacks, who have, I really believe they've been tailoring their preparation to peaking in October rather than try to peak at the start of September when they lost to South Africa at Swickenham pre-tournament and lost to France. I genuinely think they've kept their powder dry, maybe not on a tactical level, but certainly from an energy level. So I've still got hopes. I think All Blacks against Ireland, you play that 10 times, I think Ireland wins 7. But I think the All Blacks have got a chance, and certainly Ireland won't be taking them lightly. I think whoever wins that is pretty well placed. I think it's going to be tough for France to get through that quarterfinal, depending on how much time Dupont has. But South Africa look incredibly tough. So for me, if the winner of All Blacks Ireland potentially up against South Africa in the final.
Justin Marshall.
No chat.
Dan Carter.
No chat.
Jonah Lomu.
No chat.
Sean Fitzpatrick.
No chat.
Richie McGaw.
No chat.
Tanner Umaga.
No chat.
Ali Williams.
No chat. Less than no chat.
Brad Thorne.
No chat.
Carlos Spencer.
No chat.
And Joe Rocathoco.
Nice guy. Some chat.
Oh, that was nearly the first time we had a 10 out of 10 no chat. Andrew, you are an absolute legend. Thank you so much for giving us your time. Behave yourself this evening, and we'll see you in France in the coming weeks.
Love and champagne,
guys.
What? We've had loose people on this part, but
I think that interview deserves this button. That's seriously good chat. By the way, just talking about buttons after that interview, we have probably should mention our sponsor. And also our other sponsor.
Samurai!
Well, we should, because it's a good time.
And hold on. If you're doing all the buttons, why not do
another one?
Well, we should actually, because I've seen a lot of photos of you on the bike and you were donning some wonderful lycra. But also, I saw in the evening, casual wear, you were going samurai for the sort of the early evening. And then when you went out for the suppers, you were wearing wonderful Beaufort and Blake clothes.
They're two formidable clothing brands for two different situations. You got, samurai, which is your casual wear. You're doing a bit of cheeky CrossFit, or even you're just going on the common and you want to wear some shorts and a t-shirt and a hoodie. And with the weather changing, maybe you wear your North Face jacket.
Yeah, yeah.
But you'd always wear your Clapham Falcons shorts. In the evening, you want to look a bit classic. You want to look successful. And there's only one clothing brand I go to, Beaufort and Blake. But talking about lycra, there is something about lycra that just feels right. And as I'm in discussions with a few people in the city to develop a lycra suit. Because I feel like if everyone wore a lycra suit, two things would happen. The tube would be more streamlined. But secondly, people would be more body conscious and probably start to lose weight. And in turn, everyone would be a bit healthier.
Right,
write that down, because I'm going to put together a document for the government later this year.
Okay.
We can get that mandated at least on the Northern Line, if not the Victoria Line as well.
Okay, I'll put that down for you. And the listeners should put down RigBiz15 to get 15% off all of Beaufort and Blake's incredible autumn winter collection. And don't forget to go to the Samurai website and get hold of the remaining Clapham Falcon stuff. There should be a new drop coming soon.
Yeah.
So if you can't get hold of some of the stash, it is coming soon.
That's seriously good chat.
Oh, can you stop pressing that fucking chat button?
Hold on, one more time.
No.
That's seriously good chat. It is a cool button, though.
Well, it was okay the first time. That's just really annoying now.
I don't know if I prefer this button.
Another one. Oh, it's probably the second one. You keep on playing it every single fucking episode for the last 7 weeks. Anyway, let's not get wound up.
They're here to stay, mate.
Oh, God, I hope not. Let's not get wound up about that. Look, we've got two and a half weeks left of this World Cup. We've got an incredible quarterfinals. You're out to Marseille. But apart from that, everything else good? Are you enjoying Clapham? We haven't heard much about the region.
Things are good. The common's looking spectacular. I don't know if you've been out there, but no. The grass has recently been cut and, it's still good. Touch wood to play a bit of touch on. It's soft to hard, the ground, and you can wear studs or even wear some trainers and you still put in a decent performance. So things are positive all round, not just in Clapham, but in the city. The market is picking out. It's buoyant. I described it as buoyant. I really would.
Okay, well, one thing we do want to be buoyant this week is obviously England's success and them making a semi-final. So, Archie, I think it's about time we hand over to you to have the final word to the England rugby team.
Hello, boys. It's me, Archie. Here we are once again. Quarterfinals, knockout rugby. Very much like the business world, a dog-eat-dog world. You've got one shot at this, boys, and all I want to say is we're behind you. Not just me, not just Clapham, but the country.
Kezzy, keep doing what you're doing. It's magnificent to see a man of your age delivering on and off the pitch.
Tom Curry, I hear you love a turnover, but your chat is pretty weird.
Courtney Laws! Smile, mate. This is possibly your last World Cup. Come on, give us a smile.
Jamal, you're so kooky. Honestly, see your content online. You're a great rugby player, but you're so kooky.
Oh, pal, you're not just a decent rugby player and a top-notch leader. I generally think you could do a job in the city. Definitely, you know, connect with me on LinkedIn. I'd love to speak to you about a cheeky little opportunity.
Henry Ando, one player against Romania. It doesn't look like you're going to get much of a look in for the rest of the World Cup, but 5 tries, that's magnificent.
Tuolangi, my selection of brothers during the first World Cup match. I don't think they like me very much, but I hope you go well.
Marcus Smith, you're so agile and malleable. You really have shown that you can adapt to any environment. I would definitely use what I just said as the first paragraph on your CV.
Anyway, England, good luck, boys. We're behind you.
Well, let's hope that inspires England boys to victory. Archie Cousin, thank you so much for being here. Ladies and gentlemen, it's been a very tough week out there in the big wide world. So stay safe, and we'll see you all next week.
There will be no crowd.